From Hollidaysburg to Greensburg, Camp Hill to Lafayette Hill, this is Lincoln Radio Journal. On this edition, the primary election results are in, and the nominees for Pennsylvania's statewide offices are set to do battle in the general election. David Taylor from the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association is joined by Rebecca Euler of the Pennsylvania Motor Truck Association and Stephen Bloom of the Commonwealth Foundation for a Capital Watch analysis. And once again, Pennsylvania's State House Democrats have placed preservation of their political power over the protection of women. I'll have a town hall commentary. I'm Loman Henry, and welcome to Lincoln Radio Journal. We'll get to our Capital Watch crew in just a couple of minutes, but first, news headlines from patownhall.com. The PJM power grid, which covers 13 states from Illinois to North Carolina and includes all of Pennsylvania, has posted dramatic decreases in carbon dioxide emissions. The Center Square reports that from 2005 to 2023, emission rates fell by 43% across the grid. Emission rates for nitrogen oxides declined by 90%, and the rates for sulfur dioxide dropped 96%. A news release from PJM says new technologies and lower emitting and more efficient fuel sources replaced older and less efficient units, and that is responsible for the decline in emissions. Marcellus Shell Coalition President David Callahan responded to the report, saying that accounting for nearly half of PJM's generation capacity, abundant and clean Pennsylvania natural gas is driving significant air quality improvements while providing resilience to the grid. Indeed, the decline of coal-fired power plants and the rise of natural gas-fired power plants has driven the improvement in air quality, with a lion's share of power generation now coming from natural gas. Pennsylvania sits atop one of the largest deposits of natural gas in the world. Pennsylvania House Republicans held a news conference last week to highlight legislation they are introducing to combat illegal immigration in Pennsylvania. Saying the Biden administration has failed to secure the nation's southern border, House Republican leader Brian Cutler said it is important that lawmakers take action to protect Keystone State residents. Among the legislation being proposed is a ban on allowing counties and municipalities to declare themselves as so-called sanctuary cities, an increase in penalties for assaulting law enforcement officers, a call on Congress to end ghost flights that move illegal immigrants from the border to other states, and reforming laws to protect property owners against squatters. While this raised some eyebrows, U.S. Senator John Fetterman this past week endorsed Mitt Romney for president of Harvard University. Fetterman holds a master's degree in public policy from the Kennedy School of Government at Harvard. He has emerged as a leading voice in the Democratic Party in the fight against the wave of anti-Semitism infecting many of the nation's campuses. Romney was the Republican presidential nominee in 2012 and is currently serving as a U.S. senator from Utah. He is not seeking re-election this year. In a social media posting, Fetterman said, quote, "Harvard and its academic peers needs to recalibrate from far-left orthodoxy," end quote. Fetterman was elected in 2022 as a darling of the left, but has himself strayed from far-left orthodoxy on a number of issues, including his staunch defense of Israel. Read about all things Pennsylvania at patownhall.com. Contested statewide races, along with the selection of candidates in a few key congressional and legislative districts, were decided in this past week's primary election. Our Capital Watch crew is here to sort through the results and offer analysis. David Taylor from the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association is joined by Rebecca Euler from the Pennsylvania Motor Truck Association and Stephen Bloom of the Commonwealth Foundation. David?
And welcome once again to Capital Watch, where we keep an eye on what's happening under the Capitol Dome in Harrisburg for you. I'm your host, David Taylor, President and CEO of the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association. With me in the studio, your Capital Watch All-Stars from the Pennsylvania Motor Truck Association, President and CEO Rebecca Euler. Rebecca, great to be with you.
Good to be back again, Dave. Thank you.
And my main man, Steve Bloom, Vice President of the Commonwealth Foundation. Steve,
Dave, great.
Great to see you.
Great to see you. Pleasure to be here.
So we're gonna take the listeners and sift through the still hot wreckage of the Pennsylvania primary election results and try to just, you know, sift through the entrails, read the tea leaves, whatever metaphor you want to get a sense of what's going to happen when November comes around. So I guess, you know, obviously it was already predetermined what was going to happen, but at the presidential level that President Biden was the victor with 93% of the vote. Interestingly, Donald Trump won the Republican nomination, but there was a pretty sizable vote for the other candidate on the ballot, former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley. She got 150,000 votes. That's significant, don't you think?
Yeah, it appeared that there were definitely some Republicans, and we have closed primaries in Pennsylvania,
right.
So only Republicans can vote in the Republican primary, only Democrats in the Democratic primary. So focusing on the Republican presidential primary, Nikki Haley, because of her efforts earlier, had gotten her name on the ballot. And even though she had no longer been pursuing her campaign, it was sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, a meaningful number of Republicans voted for her rather than voting for Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
So something to keep an eye on. And just another, you know, Pennsylvania is, we are the epicenter. We are ground zero for the elections this fall for President of the United States and all the other elections that go with it. So there's going to be everything that happens in Pennsylvania is being closely watched, closely studied, and closely debated. So it's going to be an interesting year as these final chess pieces are sort of set in their places by the primaries.
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, I guess it wasn't entirely surprising because we know the polls have shown that a sizable number of voters don't like either of the choices.
Mm-hmm.
We knew that going in. But the one thing I found interesting about the Haley vote is it was really super high in the collar counties around Philadelphia. And as high as Montgomery County was 45%.
Wow.
So almost 45% of Republicans in Montgomery County did not vote for Trump.
Mm-hmm.
So it definitely shows that there's some ground to be made up there, especially in those collar counties around Philadelphia.
Yeah. And again, both of these candidates, Biden and Trump, are such universally known personalities that it's like, is it possible for anybody to change their opinion?
Yeah.
I mean, we'll see. Time will tell. Of course, the other race that's going to be a focus of national attention is the battle for U.S. Senate, where incumbent U.S. Senator Bob Casey is being challenged by Republican businessman Dave McCormick. And they were both running without opposition, so they now are the official nominees of their respective parties.
And boy, that's another, like you said, an election that is going to be watched nationally. It can certainly affect the impact as to whether Republicans or Democrats control the U.S. Senate. And it's all happening here. We're going to be up front, close, personal with all these candidates as they try to get everywhere in Pennsylvania over the coming months. And all the media that's following them, not just regional media, but national media and international media.
You know, looking at the U.S., the Pennsylvania U.S. congressional delegation, I suppose the two really notable things, one would be that U.S. Representative Summer Lee out there in Allegheny and Westmoreland counties, that she survived her primary challenge. She won about 60-40. And that's the district that includes the city of Pittsburgh proper. And so it's an overwhelmingly Democratic seat. But, Summer Lee has she's been the focus of a lot of controversy because of her very strident stand against Israel. And of course, that Pittsburgh, has a sizable and, really distinguished and venerable Jewish community. And so it'll be interesting to see. I know that that Republican businessman James Hayes is going to be the candidate of the other party, and that he's he's an interesting guy, African American businessman, military veteran, putting himself forward as a moderate problem solver. We'll see if some of that dissenting vote from the Democrat primary against Summer Lee, if those folks would see fit to support her Republican challenger. So that'll be an interesting story. you know, in the Lehigh Valley, that Republicans settled upon State Representative Ryan McKenzie to be their standard bearer going into the fall against U.S. Representative Susan Wild, who is, and again, that's that Lehigh Valley seat formerly held by, you know, by Pat Toomey and by Charlie Dent, that it's considered one of those must-win pickups for the Republicans to continue to hold the U.S. House of Representatives.
And you see, especially on the Democratic side of the ledger, the sort of the battle for control of the party in within itself.
Mm-hmm.
You have again, you mentioned Summerlee being reelected or at least
winning
her primary,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Renominated. And she is one of those that was pushing the party to move leftward at a time when there are many other Democrats who are feeling that they're losing touch with the left fringe of the party. And are they going to jump? Are they, you know, once we get out of primary season, which now we're out,
mm-hmm.
Are they, when they look at the general election in the fall, are they going to want to be associated with the control that the far left is starting to take of many elements of the Democratic Party? Are they going to be able to hang with it? Or are they going to shift over and vote for Republicans, like in the U.S. Senate race? The presidential race, the congressional races.
Well, certainly, you know, the horrific slaughter that was inflicted on Israelis on October 7 has given a lot of people pause. And, you know, certainly now as we see these mass protests in American cities and on American campuses, essentially in support of Hamas and Hezbollah and these terror organizations, it's really kind of frightening. And again, we will learn whether this is a turning point in American politics, where, you know, the Jewish Americans traditionally have been, you know, overwhelmingly, you know, voters for the Democrats. If, you know, if they see that their party has been, you know, infiltrated and essentially taken over by people who hate Jewish people, that's. Anyway, it's going. This is one of the lessons that we're going to learn as a result of the elections in November and all of the, you know, the policymaking posturing that happens between now and then.
Yeah, progressives have certainly been on the march in Pittsburgh for a couple of years now, and win after win. And Summerlee in the primary was definitely like we were just saying, is proof of that. But you're right. Now that we're in the general election season, I think it's going to be interesting to see how these issues now play out with a general election vote. I just think it's going to be really interesting to watch in Pittsburgh.
So the lineup was also set for Pennsylvania's three statewide row officers that in the race for attorney general, which is an open seat, that the Democrats landed on former state auditor general Eugene DePasquale, who's a native of Western Pennsylvania. He had lived here in the mid-state, had been the state representative from York, the city of York, PA, and then had been the statewide elected auditor general. So he will be the nominee for attorney general, and that he will be up against York County district attorney Dave Sunday, who's put himself forward as being not merely the law and order candidate, but also sort of an advanced kind of social reformer. And it's interesting because Dave's got a really good record in York County of helping to reduce recidivism and lower the overall crime rate. And so he says it's accountability and redemption. And we'll see if he can, you know, capture the zeitgeist with that kind of message.
And I've been able to work a little bit with Dave Sunday in his previous capacity, his current capacity as DA of York County, on some of the criminal justice reform legislation that we've advanced. And he's been very helpful on that. He understands the need for making sensible decisions that get people who don't belong in prison out when they're supposed to get out, making sure that simple probation violations that don't amount to much shouldn't end up putting a person back in prison for years. It doesn't do any good for them. It doesn't do anything good for the crime rate or for the taxpayers who pay for that additional time in prison. So Sunday's been very good on those issues, but while at the same time being respected for his law and order views in terms of the mainstream. So seems like he's a very personable guy. Gene DePasquale, very experienced as well, so it's going to be a tough race.
Yeah, and of course, that you know, Rebecca, that statewide that, you know, the attorney general is probably the most prominent of the three row officers, and that, you know, people joke that AG should stand for aspiring governor.
Yeah, it's certainly been the case over the past couple of attorney generals, for sure. But I do think you guys both make a great point about the law and order factor here, because we know that crime rates are up, especially in our cities. And I think that that is going to be an issue in this race, because attorney general is the number one law enforcement officer in the state. So I think that will be something that could really help Dave Sunday out in this race. He does bring that perspective and like you said, a balanced perspective to it. I think that will be exciting to watch.
You're listening to Capital Watch. I'm your host, David Taylor from Pennsylvania Manufacturers. With me, Rebecca Euler from Pennsylvania Motor Truck Association and Steve Bloom from the Commonwealth Foundation. So along with Attorney General, the other two row offices, of course, are State Treasurer and Auditor General. And interesting upset where in the race for State Treasurer, the Republicans, of course, you know, renominated the incumbent treasurer, Stacey Garrity, but that the Democrats actually rejected their endorsed candidate, State Representative Ryan Bizzaro from Erie, and instead chose Aaron McClelland from Allegheny County. So that was a real kind of a wild shift. Nobody saw that coming that I know of.
I think, yeah, most comments I had heard before Election Day were talking about a close race.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't really even particularly close,
no,
as it turned out.
No, 55-45. Mm-hmm. And then for the Auditor General, the Republicans renominated Tim DeFore, the incumbent Auditor General, who is a certified public accountant and formerly worked as an investigator for the Attorney General's office and the State Inspector General, that the Democrats chose as their nominee State Representative Malcolm Kenyatta of Philadelphia, who is a new-ish member. He's been in for a couple of terms, I guess, but he's mostly known for being a gay rights activist.
And what a contrast, because if you look at our current Auditor General, Tim DeFore, he's the very definition of a quiet, reserved individual.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't speak that much, and when he does, it's in measured tones, and mm-hmm. he's very calm and almost trying not to be in the spotlight. Whereas Malcolm Kenyatta has made a name for himself by being extremely outspoken and, you know, making sure that, like, you know, he's in the room, if he's in the room. So just the style, the contrast in styles between the two is going to be fascinating. And I'm sure there'll be some sort of debates along the way. And to watch the two of them on the debate stage would be just such an interesting exercise, because personalities just so utterly different from each other.
You're right. I'm looking forward to that.
And those are the lineups with the three statewide row offices, the U.S. Senate race, and of course the presidential race. Those are all going to be consequential. And then, of course, we get to the results from the races for state Senate and for the state House of Representatives. That the balance of power will be determined by the outcome in these races. And actually, we even saw a few incumbent lawmakers go down to defeat.
Yeah, so unusual to see incumbent members of the General Assembly knocked out in a primary. We've seen a couple in this cycle, and we've seen a couple who barely hung on. And so that indicates sort of the degree of turmoil underlying both the Republican Party and the Democratic Party, in terms of, you know, what elements of the party are going to exercise control over who the nominees are.
Yeah.
And so you saw these tough battles. And again, there were some close ones, and there were a whole lot, as per typical, where the incumbent won easily. But when you see these, it sends some shockwaves through the mindset of the leadership in both chambers. And everything's close in Pennsylvania. So it has that sort of impact of how will it affect the behavior of the representatives and senators,
yeah,
knowing that there could be a primary challenge for them down the road someday. And right now, keeping in mind, our state Senate's divided with 28 Republicans, 22 Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
Our state House is on that knife's edge of 102 Democrats and 100 Republicans. There was a special election that took place quietly amongst all the primary elections yesterday that elected the replacement in the 101st district, which had been vacant or in the 139th district, rather, that had been vacant because of a member who resigned, putting the total back to 102 Democrats versus 101 Republicans in the state House, where it will likely remain unless there's another vacancy created over the next 6 months or so.
So this is and we saw also the outcomes of several of these races were exceedingly close. So as the listeners have heard me say, you know, many times over the year, that representative self-government is not a spectator sport, and that if you think that you can't make a difference or that your vote wouldn't matter, I would point you to some of these races where it's going to come down to a handful of votes. Things are going to have to be, you know, hand tallied and examined, and you know, like, it matters.
And as we speak, there's one race where the challenger is ahead by 8 votes. No matter how big and how expensive these campaigns get, it comes down to voters.
And it also, I think, in a way, it's kind of heartening that, you know, I'm sure that many people feel frustrated and, you know, kind of powerless in the face of a lot of these titanic political struggles, you know, presidential nominees that you'd prefer would just go away, you know, other issues that are, you know, thorny, and and we're all going to get battered by TV and radio ads and online ads for all of these races: president, U.S. Senate, U.S. House, the row offices, state Senate, state House. It's like there's going to be no escape from it. But, you know, in the end, we should each take solace knowing that, you know, this is still America, and that it's going to come down to the votes that are cast by voters as to how we're going to govern ourselves for the next 2, 4, 6 years.
The Senate could hinge on Pennsylvania, the majority in the Senate. There's no doubt about that. And the presidential race as well, of course. So we are going to have a front row seat. It's going to be a busy 6 months here in Pennsylvania.
And choose to be involved. Choose to live life with your brain turned on. Learn the issues, learn these candidates and office holders, see what they're talking about, what they, you know, where they want to take our Commonwealth and our country, because, you know, again, it's up to us, each one of us individually, to be involved and to, you know, to exercise our citizenship by casting an informed ballot. So anyway, with that admonition, I'll wrap things up here. It was certainly an exciting primary, and you know, as we said at the outset, that this now casts the lines of battle for what things will look like in the fall. So I'll tell you what, Steve, where can people go to learn more about you and your group and the work that you do?
They can visit commonwealthfoundation.org on the web.
Outstanding. And Rebecca, where can people go to learn more about you and the fine work of the Pennsylvania Motor Truck Association?
They can find us at pmta.org.
Outstanding. Well, as ever, you can find me online at pamanufacturers.org and on the Pennsylvania Cable Network on Sunday mornings at 8:30 with PMA Perspective. So from Steve and Rebecca and me, we thank all of you for listening, and we will catch you next time on Capital Watch. And now, a town hall commentary from Loman Henry.
Thank you, David. The left has become adept at using various issues as a wedge to gain political advantage with women voters. They have been particularly effective in using so-called reproductive rights, mischaracterizing the Supreme Court's Dobbs decision as having taken away those supposed rights, even though the court merely returned the issue to the states where it properly belongs. But as the saying goes, they are all hat and no cowboy when it comes to protecting actual women. Here in Penn's Woods, Pennsylvania's House Democrats have been particularly brazen in throwing women under the bus if taking action on their behalf in any way threatens their tenuous hold on political power. The Pennsylvania House of Representatives has been a chamber virtually evenly divided since the beginning of the current session. Capitalizing on the most egregious gerrymandered set of district lines in the Commonwealth's history, Democrats seized a one-seat majority in the 2022 elections. Plagued by one death and multiple resignations, the chamber has periodically fallen into a 101-101 tie. This has prompted Democrats to use various tactics, including the snookering of several Republicans to vote for a supposed nonpartisan temporary House Speaker, to holding the chamber in recess for months using the flimsy excuse of fixing a leak in the chamber ceiling. The latest example of Democrats prioritizing political power over protecting women occurred last week when Speaker Joanna McClinton allowed State Representative Kevin Boyle to vote even though he was on the lam hiding out from law enforcement seeking to execute a warrant for his arrest for allegedly violating a protection from abuse order. McClinton and House Democrats showed no concern for the female victim who filed the protection from abuse order, feeding instead their lust for legislative power. Well, a variety of excuses were forthcoming. Representative Boyle, who recently was involved in a drunken rant at a local bar, was said by defenders to be suffering from mental health issues. If indeed that is the case, then Mr. Boyle should be afforded the appropriate medical care. But there are larger issues here. First and foremost, is his flight from the law in any way imperiling the safety of the woman who filed the protection from abuse order? Second, should a fugitive from justice be allowed to cast a vote or have someone else vote for him in Pennsylvania's legislative body? Realizing the optics of the situation, House Democrats decided to propose new rules for expelling a member. Getting back to our analogy theme, that is the equivalent of closing the barn door after the horse has escaped. Sadly, this is not the first time House Democrats have placed power over people. Last spring, their majority still teetering by one vote, House Democrats obfuscated as then-Representative Mike Zabel of Delaware County was accused of sexual harassment by a labor union lobbyist. It took pressure from female Republican House members to force Zabel's resignation. Likewise, Governor Josh Shapiro has placed political expediency over the protection of women. One of his top aides, former Secretary of Legislative Affairs Mike Verb, was forced to resign in the wake of sexual harassment allegations lodged by a female staff member. Verb was allowed to remain on the job for months while a taxpayer-funded monetary settlement of $295,000 was negotiated and paid to the victim. The issue only gained traction when State Senate President pro tempore Kim Ward and other female legislators forced it into the public spotlight. As did his colleagues in the State House, Shapiro placed power and perception over protection of women. Much ado has been made over the fact House Speaker Joanna McClinton is the first woman to occupy that role. While that is indeed an accomplishment, you would think she would use that position to further the protection of women. Instead, she has prioritized the protection of her political majority. It is a choice that will tarnish what should otherwise have been a shining legacy. With a Town Hall commentary, I'm Loman Henry. If you miss hearing Lincoln Radio Journal on your favorite radio station, audio of our complete program is available on our websites, LincolnRadioJournal.com and LincolnInstitute.org. For 29 years, Lincoln Radio Journal has been heard on public affairs-minded radio stations throughout the Commonwealth, including WROV-FM in Ridgeway, WRAK-AM in Williamsport, along with WJAS-AM in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. The Lincoln Radio Journal is produced weekly by the Lincoln Institute of Public Opinion Research, Incorporated. The Lincoln Institute is completely funded through the generosity of individuals, corporations, and philanthropic foundations, including the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association, the Allegheny Foundation of Pittsburgh, and the Houston Foundation of Coatesville, all of whom have helped to underwrite the costs of this program. Lincoln Radio Journal is a trademark of the Lincoln Institute of Public Opinion Research, Incorporated. Comments and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Lincoln Institute or of this radio station. From the Lincoln Broadcast Center in Harrisburg, I'm Loman Henry. Thank you for listening to Pennsylvania's most widely broadcast public affairs radio program, Lincoln Radio Journal. Plug into the pulse of Pennsylvania.